This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Flathead Valley is the wildest valley in southern Canada. It lies in the southeast corner of BC and straddles the Canada-US border. The valley has never been settled and is home to significant populations of large carnivores and a myriad of bird species. It's now being threatened by a proposal by Klein Mining Corporation of Sudbury for an open-pit coal mine in the headwaters of the Flathead. The company is proposing to remove 2 million tons of coal annually from the Lodgepole mine, about 50 kilometers southeast of Fernie, BC. Casey Brennan is Energy and Mining Program Manager with WildSight, a conservation group that focuses on issues in the Rocky Mountains, and he joins us this morning from Fernie. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning, Jane.
Now, why has the Flathead Valley escaped development so far?
Well, it's a combination of history and geography. The Flathead drains south in the very southeast corner of British Columbia, just up against the Continental Divide, the border between Alberta and British Columbia, as well as the 49th parallel, the border between Canada and the U.S. So as far as the attractiveness of it in terms of transportation corridor, it wasn't ever really there because east-west was the focus for development of transportation in the days back when they were doing that kind of thing, not north-south. So things went through the Elk Valley and the Crow's Nest Pass, Highway 3 and the CPR rail line. And then as far as development of resources go, it is over a couple. There's two routes in that are quite high passes, and it's pretty much impassable for a good 6 to 8 months of the year. So as far as resource development goes and whatnot, there was always the daunting task of dealing with huge amounts of snow if you were going to develop a mine or a forestry operation back there, some kind of a mill or something. So it always precluded that and kind of kept those kind of things to summertime until maybe the last couple of decades where, we just push snow out of the way wherever we want to go now. And so that's why it's now been able to become attractive with high prices of coal, high commodity prices of coal and stuff, that it's now more attractive and there's proposals to mine there.
It's hard for me to imagine what an undisturbed low-elevation valley would look like, given that there are towns and roads and railways and all the ones that I've seen. Can you describe to me what the Flathead Valley looks like?
Yeah, it's quite remarkable, actually, for a southern valley like this to be able to climb up to the top of a mountain overlooking this valley where you're looking across, hundreds of square kilometers of landscape, and to not see, oh, that's the place where the people are, which is something you climb to the top of a hill or a mountain pretty much anywhere in southern British Columbia, anywhere in southern Canada, and you go, oh, that's where the people live, or that's where they're doing that activity, or that's where they're doing this. And you can see roads and a few clear-cut patches here and there, but, I mean, I've climbed up there with a few people who have traveled Canada extensively, and they've all remarked how they've never seen a view like that so far south. It's something you might expect to see, up north of Edmonton or north of Prince George or something like that in a few areas, but even then it's quite special. Even now, days in the north, we're getting so thick on the ground, us humans, but it's just a beautiful alluvial floodplain, as it's described, which it means it's a big, wide-open, flat, gravelly river bottom that has huge amounts of area for the river to meander and change course and create that constant change in the riparian or the river bottom habitat, so that there's flood activity in every few years that renews the vegetation and allows those early vegetative things that so many creatures like to munch on in the springtime to grow. And it's just beautiful Rocky Mountain peaks and sort of the backdrop, and really amazing, special place.
What is it that makes it so biologically diverse? Is it just the fact that the river hasn't been disturbed?
That's a big part of it, but one of the main things of it is that it's what biologists call a biological mixing zone. And what you have there is you have the western extent of the prairie ecosystem, the plants that live in the make their living in the prairies, because there are a couple of not too high passes that they've been able to pass, those plants have been able to pass through into this low valley. It's the northern extent of the southern Rockies ecosystem type, so more drier, more arid type of plants that are, you know, common sort of south, if some of your listeners have been down to Wyoming and Colorado and places like that. And then it's the southern extent of the northern or boreal or tundra type ecosystem, so into the higher elevations there's some of those more northern type of plants that would make their living. And then it's the eastern extent of the western type of ecosystem. It is wet enough there, they get enough, it gets enough precipitation to support a lot of the plants that you might see in coastal or temperate rainforest, interior temperate rainforest type of environments. And so all of those factors exist in this big wide valley, and it has, according to Parks Canada, who studied the area quite extensively and in the possible anticipation of expanding Waterton Park, it is possibly one of the most biodiverse, as far as plant species go, places in Canada.
Let's look at the mining proposal. What exactly is Klein Mining Corporation planning there?
Well, they're planning a large-scale open-pit mine, mountaintop removal mining, where basically they just create a giant hole in the earth that they remove the rock that overlies coal seams and then mine coal seams that are varying thicknesses. Very large shovels and very large trucks move earth around to get to a processing facility where they take out any of the rock and as much of the rock and the impurities as they have to, and then produce a processed or a refined dried coal product that then they will truck down a road, almost 50 kilometers of road from high up on this ridge in the headwaters of the Flathead River down into the Elk watershed, into the Elk River system, to a place called Elko, which is right on the edge of the Rocky Mountain Trench, to a siding there where they'd load it onto Canadian Pacific Railway trains. And they plan to produce 2 million tons of processed coal a year. With that kind of amount of production, they have to move, you know, many millions more tons a year of rock and deal with the waste of that and create huge waste piles or slag heaps or settling ponds and a very large operation, a massive industrial scale operation.
Well, it's interesting because it's the first time I'd come across on your website the open pit mines being referred to as mountaintop removal mines, and I thought, well, that's a very much more graphic image of what's actually involved when you do this kind of mining, and it's useful to keep that in mind when you think about what's involved there.
Yeah, they move mountains and they fill in valleys. That's what they do. They create entirely new hydrological realities in an area, and that has huge effects downstream, and that is what one of the things we are very concerned about, and probably the thing that the folks to the south of us, our good neighbors in Montana, are extremely concerned about. I was just at a meeting with a number of residents, landowners, property owners, and conservationists in Montana last yesterday evening, and it's really important for people to understand that the Flathead in the United States forms the western boundary of Glacier National Park, which is referred to as the crown jewel of their national park system. It is designated a wild and scenic river, and by federal legislation, which is the highest level of protection a river can be afforded. It is possibly, and it is one of the main water sources, or the main water source for Flathead Lake, which is the largest freshwater lake west of the Mississippi. So it's a hugely iconic river and a hugely important river for not just residents of Montana, but folks all over the states, and they're quite concerned about the potential impact on what until now has been a fairly pristine and unimpacted watershed.
What would the lifespan of the mine be?
About 20 years is what they're saying. Of course, it all depends on the price of coal. Prices, as any commodity, go in cycles, and the reality is that the coal price is way up now, historically unprecedented prices for coal, which makes this mine economic, and that may not last. And if that doesn't last, what kind of impact is a half finished mine or a half mined mine going to have on the future of the Flathead.
Now, I know that this is going to environmental assessment, the Environmental Assessment Office, and they're going to be holding hearings coming up in your local area. What is Klein Mining saying in response to concerns about the environmental impact of the mine?
Well, they're saying a couple of things. One thing they're saying is quite disingenuous is that, well, this isn't really much in the Flathead. It's mostly in the Elk watershed, and the Elk is already an impacted river. There's five mines upstream in the Elk, so it doesn't matter that we're going to conduct our mining in the Elk, which is not true. The mine itself will be on the Flathead side of the divide between the Elk and the Flathead watershed, and the mine itself and its waste dumps will have the greatest impact on water quality. Their processing and their hauling will happen in the Elk watershed, but it will happen in a tributary of the Lodgepole, the North Lodgepole and the Lodgepole Creek of the Elk that has no industrial activity in it as of yet, and it's a fairly pristine tributary, and there will be the road they plan to use actually follows right along the floodplain of the Lodgepole for multiple kilometers, and the impacts from increased use of that, industrial use of that road, dozens of trucks every day, 100-ton trucks running back and forth on that road, will have incredible increase, and will cause incredible increase in siltation levels or sediment in the stream, and will have impacts on fish and fish habitat.
What's the likelihood of the BC Environmental Assessment Office turning down the proposal?
Well, I'd say it's zero. The BC Environmental Assessment process is not a process that says if, it's a process that says how. There has never been a project rejected by the BC Environmental Assessment Office. They basically decide what things need to be done, and they call it mitigation, what things need to be made up for the impact that will come from the mine, and how to minimize that impact from the mine. So it's a process that assumes that the project is going ahead, and that's consistent with the government's policy, open for business, mining, pro-mining policy. And that's unfortunately the reality of that process. If people want to be able to say no, they have to make this a politically charged issue, which is what we're trying to encourage people to do, and contact their MLA or their premier or their minister of state for mining, who happens to be in the MLA in this area, directly, and let them know that the Flathead is a place where mining shouldn't occur. There are some places that are just too precious, and this is clearly one of them. The environmental assessment process right now is actually in a preliminary stage, and they're seeking public comment on the terms of reference, which are essentially the rules of the game for the actual process of the environmental assessment. There's still a heck of a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of collecting baseline information about the area, very basic, simple information about what the hydrology of the area is, what the plant species are, types of fish there are, and the very specific streams that will be impacted. And Klein hasn't done that work yet, and they're just negotiating right now with the government, and the government's taking feedback from the public on how much study they should be doing, what the parameters of the study they are going to conduct should be. They think they can get their studies done in a year and be up and running in 2008. We're saying that because this is such a pristine watershed, we need to do a basin-wide assessment. We need to look at the whole basin. We need to look at the whole watershed. We can't just look at this one tributary of the river, because the whole river will be affected, and we need to conduct analysis. We need to collect data for 3 years. And quite frankly, it's not fair to ask Klein Mining to do that. That's not what that would be fairly unprecedented. But that's the way the BC process is set up, is the proponent needs to conduct all the science. And this is the amazing thing of the environmental assessment process, is the proponent, the person who wants to push ahead with the project, hires biologists and tells them what to look for and what to study. And then those biologists report back to the province and are the ones who provide the information for the province to assess how to minimize the impact on what has been studied. So we've already seen Klein playing some games with when studies will be conducted and what the scope of those studies will be. And we have, you know, other biologists who advise us who have said that the science that the consultants for Klein have been conducting is less than rigorous and less than stellar.
So what you're asking people to do if they're concerned about this is then to contact their the appropriate politicians.
Yeah, the premier, their MLA are people who need to hear that people care about the Flathead, and you know, people of course can learn more at flathead.ca. But also, we do encourage people to participate in the environmental assessment process to let the folks at the EAO, the Environmental Assessment Office, know that the proposed scope of this plan is not adequate and it needs to be bigger.
Thanks very much for talking to me this morning, Casey.
Thank you for your time, Jane. Much appreciated.
I've been speaking with Casey Brennan. He's Energy and Mining Program Manager with WildSight. You can find out more about the issue at flathead.ca, or you can find a link from our website, coopradio.org/redeye. You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.